podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome back to a brand new episode of the TAT Pod. I'm your host, Ben. And just before I introduce the panel, we are obviously, if you guys have been in the pod before, we're sponsored by yourfootcod.com, which is the best website to get your real life ultimate team or just any football memorabilia, to be honest. They do some really good stuff on there. And just launched is this wonderful Virgil van Dijk art. If you scan that QR code, so you can put it on like your wall, and you scan that QR code, it brings up the goal he scored at Wembley. Looks really good in person as well. So use TAT Pod at checkout. You get 15% off. But guys, Elliot, how are you, mate?
Well, I'm good, but intrigued to see what we... Well, I'm not intrigued. I know what we've all got to say, but yeah, let's get into it. And hello to Craig as well.
Yeah, Craig, okay. What are you saying, mate? You good?
Good. Frustrated, annoyed, and a lot of other expletives.
I'm seething. I'm seething. You know what? We don't swear on this podcast. I'm trying so hard not to swear, but honest to God, I'm trying. I'm really trying because I'm seething. We're going to dive into the game, all the decisions, all the chances missed, all the opportunities that, you know, some players wandered. We're going to talk about what this could mean for the season going forward. But if you are in this stream, please make sure you smash a like on YouTube if you're watching on YouTube. If you're on Twitter, get involved in the chat. We'll get through your comments. Drop a like, drop a retweet, push this pod out to more people. And then we'll get into it. Jose says robbed 100%. Sangara says hello. Ali says robbed, but missing chances will cost us yet again. Miss Jota for this game feels sick. 100% agree. BP says effing joke. We've been robbed. And Thomas says we were robbed. FS, great performance though. 100%. And I think that is what we have to remember, no matter how angry we get over this podcast, that, you know, ultimately it was a good Liverpool performance. The lineup that's on the screen now, Elliot, who's watching the build-up before the game, none of them pundits gave us a chance. They were all like, oh, Liverpool, if they're lucky, they might be able to get a result. If we got a result today, there would have been no luck in it because we absolutely outclassed them for 85-90% of that game, didn't we?
Yeah, I think, you know, every time I think these two come up against each other, I think the opening 15 minutes is always a bit, you know, tentative because they know how good each other are. I think that was the case today. And then after that, both teams know, you know, they're up for a fight, and as always is the case. But then City obviously go and take the lead. But I think the lineups before, and I understand people from the outside maybe looking in, not Liverpool supporters, basically thinking, you know, they haven't got much of a chance because that lineup is, I think, is it six or seven players Liverpool's still missing, by the way. And then there's Salah on the bench as well, if you think you may include him in them six or seven. So it does make sense. City, I think it's only Grealish was out. So, but it is Anfield, and there's always obviously a very good chance, and I'm sure we'll get into it a bit more, but Liverpool, I think they were exceptional, I thought, and that's why it's more frustrating that there's missed chances, and then it's more frustrating on top of that there's referees who, there's a whole another point that you can go on top of the fact the referees have maybe bottled it, but the VAR screen's on the side, which doesn't get used again. I bring it up every time something happens with VAR, but what's the point in having the screen? Just makes it a bit worse when Liverpool, they played so, I think it was Sky said before, the most shots they had against City in about 11 years. That's how well they played. It was a really strong performance, which, as I said, it makes it more and more frustrating.
And Craig, looking at that lineup before the game, was you confident that we could have got something today, or was you a bit nervous? How were you feeling before the ball was kicked, mate?
So yeah, beforehand, like the head was saying draw, you know, just with the players who were missing. And yeah, you know, I always thought Anfield would play its part. I thought we would play well, but at the same time, we were gonna be, I don't know, yeah, just without Konate. I think, like, obviously Kwanzaa did amazingly well, and like we'll get into that. But before the match, you're just thinking, you know, is this one step maybe too many for him? Like there's nothing to suggest that it would have been so far. But at the same time, just gotta, you know, you prefer to have Konate in there for that type of match. So that was kind of one area I was like a bit nervous about. But you know, as the game came on, it was like that's just one thing that didn't matter whatsoever at all, because Kwanzaa was insane. Gomez did really well as well at left back. I think that was one thing too. I might have like Rabo when he came on was amazing too. But you know, I was kind of hoping Rabo would start. just because he, well, obviously the second half is it's a different game at that point than at the start of the game. But you know, he was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant when he did come on. And with I think in the first 10 minutes, City, you know, it was second balls. It was kind of like, you know, when they were passing the ball around, we were fine. When we were in shape, we were fine. But it was kind of a long ball up the top. And then whoever got that ball, then a chance for either side. We were just a little bit sloppy when we got ours in the first 10 minutes. And then after that, you know, I really thought that it would have been us from then on. And the goal was obviously, yeah, we'll get into that. But yeah, I was thinking, you know, it was going to be an even match, regardless of the players that we were missing. And you just hope that with Klopp's last year, the boys would be fired up and that would take it to the win. So it was the heart, obviously heart says we thought we'd win. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you said. And you say, you know, it's an even match. And you're looking at those stats there, and you're looking at that XG against Man City, and it's 2.82. I was just speaking to you guys off air just before we went live. And I think no matter how I think, or you know what, these players played well today and we gave it a really good go. To me, there's always going to be a sour taste in my mouth about it, because it's the first time, I think, in a long time where, for me, I'm thinking there was only one clear winner today. There was only one team that looked like winning for most of the game, and that was us, you know. I'm looking at Rodri. People have been saying he's a shout for PFA Player of the Year. Endo played him off the park. Looking at Erling Haaland, supposed to be a generational striker. He's in Jerrel Quansah's back pocket. These players are supposed... And Kevin De Bruyne, he's subbed off and he's crying like a little bitch. Sorry, I don't know if you class that as swearing, but he's crying his eyes out because he's subbed off. Mate, you've done absolutely nothing for an hour. You've been subbed off. Deal with it. And it's like, I'm looking at all these factors. City players losing their heads. We're getting these chances. We get a mad penalty we'll get onto, and we still don't win the game. That, for me, is what I can't deal with. And that, for me, is, Elliot, when we look at these title races and when we've gone head-to-head with City, it is these games that, unfortunately, we do look back on and think, you know what? If we got the win there, then that could have made a whole lot of difference. I just pray to God it doesn't happen again this season.
Yeah, I think looking back on the other title race, I think it maybe is always a strong point that, you know, the big six mini league, you know, at times, apart from when Liverpool did win the league, I think it's always been a little bit of a case where, you know, Liverpool, I think drop points is probably a strong team because them games are always so fierce. But I think this season it's really hit them hard. I know that Tottenham games are fast back, God, how many months ago, but that one, and then there's two Arsenal games, there's the United game, and now there's this one as well. And it sounds stupid to say drop points against the treble winners, but Liverpool have dropped 2 points there today, and I think we can praise them, and I will praise them, because I thought they were absolutely excellent. And, you know, there's the Bradley and Quantity who people just dismiss now, even though the kids playing in the biggest game in the football, I'd argue this is now. But it's just so annoying because of how well they play. But it's not a negative thing, I don't think we can really focus on, because it's like a backhanded compliment. They played so well and they played that well and not got the goals. That's why it gets annoying. But I said, as you said, Craig, I think a point beforehand, I would have been not pleased, but you take them. When you think maybe, you know, you're not too sure, I think I said before, I'd be happy, content at least with a point. Context the game plays out, you're not happy with the point. But it all goes on that City Arsenal game. We need that to be a draw. And, you know, fingers crossed. But we got to do the FA Cup next week. So it's a bit of a pain. But we'll wait and see. It's set up for one of the most annoying title races we've all got to witness, unfortunately. Let's just fingers crossed we don't get another bloody Wolves last day shenanigans again.
Absolutely. And joining us, I'm going to bring him in right now to get his say on it, of course, is Mike Quill, the channel regular. Mike.
All right, boys.
We've just briefly given our thoughts so far of how we're feeling, how we were feeling going into the game, how we feel after the game. Are you happy about the performance? Are you seething that we didn't win? Just briefly tell us what your overall opinion is, mate, and we'll move on from there.
All right, Elliot, Craig, Ben, I'm going to let you know, I've been drinking, so I'm a little bit half cut.
That's
here.
Fine, bro.
I'm going to provide.
Responsibly, people. Drink responsibly.
Listen, drink responsibly. Don't drive, right? I'll tell you this, boys. And I won't swear, and I'll be very candid. I can see Craig's preparing himself here. That's hilarious. Right, that was a mockery. I can't... Right, we embarrassed Manchester City at home, which is not something we haven't done before. We've done it before, but doing it with the limited players we had was outstanding. Nunes was phenomenal. Gakpo had... I'm not going to talk about Gakpo. I like Gakpo. We just didn't... He's going through a rough patch at the moment. I'm not going to get on his back about it. Diaz was exceptional, should have scored. We all know that, but he was exceptional. He's a Duracell battery. The best commentary I've heard from Gary Neville in a long time was labeling him a Duracell battery, right? But I'm not going to sway away from it. I feel like you guys have probably already mentioned it. He got kicked in the chest. And apparently that's not a penalty. I just made a video about this, right? And I'll say the same thing I said on there. Look at that. Look at that, right? Now, I don't know football. Maybe I don't know football because I never played at a professional level, right? I've never done the UEFA B licensed coaching, right? But if you put studs in the chest of a player, is that not dangerous? Is that not a foul?
They'll give a card and a foul. It's mental. Oh, it's insane.
I'm shocked. And the thing is, I know the argument that's going to come back as well, boys. They're going to say to us, well, a still image doesn't tell the whole story. Play the video. Well, boys, I've watched the video. It looks worse. What are we doing? It's a mockery. I'm at the point where I'm almost in agreement with the idea of corruption. It's a foul. It's a yellow card. Wow. It's a penalty. That's where I'm at, Ben. That's where I'm at. It's
his mind's finally been swayed.
Yeah. After that joke of a decision. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Anyway, boys, I hope you're doing well. Where are we?
Like, recovering how ridiculous the decision was.
We're just a bit all over the place, to be honest. There is no plan. There is no script. We're just venting. We're just getting everything off our chest. I guess we'll talk about their goal, I guess, now. Because what minute was that in, like, 30-something? I can't remember. And Elliot, I was thinking at the time when this goal went in, this is when I started to think, actually, yeah, you know what? I kind of got a bad feeling about this. Because you defend so well against City. You actually play really well in the first half. Like Craig said, the first 10 minutes or so was a bit dodgy. They had a few chances. Nothing amazing. But out of all the goals you can see to a Man City team, a goal as crap as that, and I don't care if you say it's clever play, it's a crap goal.
Yeah,
Kelly should do better with it, first of all, I believe. I don't think it goes in if Alisson's in goal. Maybe that's harsh, I don't know. But it's a rubbish goal, and it's a very, very tough one to take when, like I say, you've defended and you've not let them in. To concede that goal to go 1-0 down, for me, that's when the bad vibes started in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think any set-piece goal, you can see where Liverpool's calibre, but certainly this season, not last season, let's not touch on last season. But any set-piece goal is annoying. But it's like a cheeky set-piece goal. I can't remember last time Liverpool conceded one of them, where, you know, it's a bit of a quick one, and it's almost like, I wouldn't say they weren't switched on, but they weren't switched on enough because they should see it coming. I'd cast my mind back. I think bloody Lewis Dunk's free kick on Adrian's or doing the wall.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah. That's the last thing I can remember where they've been caught. It was just a bit annoying. Kelleher, I did think that it did cross my mind, Kelleher maybe doing a bit better, but I think it's just one of them where he's scrambling because they have been caught out. So
I put that onto McAllister. Like, he was too weak in that moment.
He was weak. He was easily moved off, wasn't he?
Yeah,
definitely. You know, like he's a small guy. You know, it was a mismatch anyway. But like at the same time, he should have known exactly what Ake was doing. And in fairness, like Keller, yeah, it's hard. Just point blank, he made himself big, got his arm in the way. You know, it was one of those ones where he might have saved. You know, he should have saved it by the fact that his arm was there, but it just bounced off the wrong part of it.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm not going to... I won't turn around and blame the keeper for that. Like, I know what you're saying. Like, it was a near post thing, but I do think I'm not going to blame anyone for it, in the sense I think City clearly had assessed our set pieces, and I think they'd set up really well. It was a one-off. I don't think it's something we're going to concede again. You can say McAllister should have been stronger. Completely agree. He's too easily moved out of the way. It was just a very unpredictable set piece, and in a game where I won't give them much credit, I will give them credit for identifying a weakness in our set piece. I can't knock that. But other than that, they didn't really
do a Trent special after what he said the other day. It is a bit annoying.
This is the thing. I've seen a few people go corner taking quickly, and I was like, you know what? I don't normally get riled up, but my God, they got me. They got me. Yeah. I bit so hard. I had to put my phone away. I was like, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that.
So ridiculous. And after that, Craig, we go into the break, 1-0 down, and I remember I joined a half-time space. Not always a good idea because of someone in there. But I thought it was a relatively decent first half. Not amazing, not spectacular, but I didn't feel like we deserved to be losing. And I just kept thinking, with Salah on the bench, we've got 45 minutes to go. We're still in this game. And when Liverpool are still in this game, anything can happen. You know, we've scored winners in the 99th minute this season, no problem. So I did always have a feeling that we'd get back into the game. But the second half, we just turned it up 10, 15 gears. But the finishing from one player in particular, which I'm sure you will allude to. In fact, let's do it now. Luis Diaz's finishing today. Not good enough, was it? Just not good enough. If that's Darwin Núñez, people are wanting him sold today. And I'm not saying sell Luis Diaz because I don't make those stupid statements after a player misses a few chances. But that is what happens. Darwin Núñez misses a few chances like that. He's getting absolutely destroyed for it, right? Luis Diaz today, not good enough. I don't care if he worked his socks off. I don't care how many players he dribbled past. He had the chances today to win that game. He bottled every single one of them.
I agree. You know, I think his shooting this year has not been, like, we can already go back to his first year to compare, obviously, after last year. But, you know, that year himself, he was smashing a lot of those chances in. He was a danger from outside the box, which... In a way, he still is a danger, but at the same time, I don't know if he has the confidence in his shooting at the moment. Yeah, because even the goal he scored the other day was a bit of a dragger too. So like, you can see, and similar to Darwin last year, again, it's a technique kind of confidence type of thing with Diaz, I think, because you know he can hit them, but at the same time, I agree. It was so frustrating. He had too many of it. You thought maybe after the first three, you've got your range in at this point now. You know where the goal is. You've put it wide enough time to actually, you know, get it right in the corner this time. But no, it just wasn't happening. Wasn't getting the shots away fast enough at times too. But I will give him the opposite Darwin Núñez treatment too. You know, I to go back to the Duracell bunny battery thing, the guy was everywhere and he was creating those chances too. Like with Darwin, we say the guy's a chance magnet. They're obviously, you know, putting a lot of focus onto Darwin today. So he found it a bit more difficult. He's a bit more of a target man, more so in the gameplay. But that created space for Diaz. And he was, you know, he tore them apart at times. Absolutely tore them apart. So, you know, one good, one bad. I'll say that, like, dribbling it up from his own 25 to go up to the other end and win us a corner. Like, that was, you know, that was insane, and I'll give him a pat on the back for that, because that got the crowd going, got, like, you know, just kept that pressure going at that time. And that was a moment we should have been scoring, and it was, we faded away after that kind of 75 minutes kind of thing. You kind of started looking at us then going, okay, now those were our really big chances, and it maybe kind of killed Diaz himself, could have killed the confidence in the guys. But at the same time, yeah, it should have kept going. And we shouldn't even be talking about it in a way. Again, go right back to the refereeing decision. But yeah, I can see where fans be annoyed. But at the same time, you know, we backed Darwin to the hint, and we should back Diaz right now as well, because he will come good. He gives us so many options that other players, like no player on our team, maybe McAllister, could dribble through two players like that, one after another up the way. So I'm just going to back him just for the conversation, because I know it will go. He was at fault today, but I'll try and stay positive on Lewis.
I mean, Mike, you come out in the second half. Darwin Núñez rounds Ederson. Some people say it's a red card. I don't know. I want your opinion on that.
It's not a red card. Double jeopardy.
Your boy McAllister. As he always is from the spot.
McAllister today. Back on track. Ben, McAllister today validated me. Listen, Elliot, I bet you guys all thought of me, right? Because I need the attention, right?
I said, yeah. Come on.
You did, bro. I tell you right now, bro, I've never been... A woman has never validated me in the way McAllister has. I tell you right now, Alexis McAllister has validated me in a way that no woman ever could.
That is unreal.
I sat here months and months ago.
You need to up your game, mate.
Sorry, Greg, what did you say?
You need to up your game.
Listen, man. I'm going to tell you this, right? Alexis McAllister today. I said yesterday on a Twitter space, right, which is where a bunch of people get together to talk football, when we all talk nonsense. And I'm going to tell you this. I said Alexis McAllister was world-class, and I got booed off stage, right? Today, he put in a world-class performance yet again. And the penalty, by the way, I don't want to see Mo Salah near a penalty again in my life.
Wow. Big statement.
unbelievable. Again, listen, it's a penalty. Darwin Nunez, great pressure. Ake, a little bit light on the back pass. Edison, it's very rare he ends up in a situation where he acts rashly. He's normally one of the most composed keepers.
I'd argue that it's not. I think
it's really not. No,
he's really?
Just think back to that Mane one, like with another high boot. I've been thinking about the Mane Edison challenge for a lot today.
You know what? I was thinking about that, Craig, right? And I looked at the picture of it, and we should not bring it up.
I was thinking
Craig.
Mane got sent off.
Mane got sent off. But the reason we shouldn't bring it up is because Mane's boot connects with Edison's head. We shouldn't bring it up. It's not a valid one for us. I wanted to make the argument, and then I looked at it, and then I went, you know what? It's not gonna. You know what? I think we play down how bad that was by Mane. I think we do.
Edison milked it. I hate him. I hate City.
I know you do. Ben, tell me. Can I get your charges and can't beat
a team? My initial reaction is, I don't know what to think, Mike. I said this. We played so well, and I can't fault any of them lads out there. Even look, I maybe was harsh on Diaz, but even him, I thought was really good apart from his finishing. But it's our own doing. Like, that's part of my thinking. It's our own fault for not winning the game because we had the chances. But then the penalty at the end, and Klopp's even. I've just seen a couple of Klopp quotes. He says, anywhere else on the pitch, it's a yellow card and it's a foul. Even at least a yellow card. Potential red in some cases. And then, it's just one of them where I don't know where I'm at. Maybe I'll wake up tomorrow and I'll think slightly different. But on the McAllister thing, the thing I love today is even though, right, Edison was rolling on the floor doing whatever for 5 minutes, trying to delay. Nobody, you know, sometimes if Darwin or Salah goes to take a pen, someone will hold the ball first and then they'll give it the next player and then they'll take it. McAllister didn't need any of that. He just picked up the ball, held on to the ball. When the moment came, struck it perfectly. Keeper goes the right way as well, which is just, it makes the penalty even better. And
looks even better.
We're 1-1. And it looks like at that point, Elliot, things are going good. The crowd are up. We're battering them. Like, not even just playing well. At this point, there's only one winner. It was only in the last 10 minutes, really, when Doku had that chance where he hit the post where City looked like, okay, they're still in this. Up until that, Elliot, it looked like it was only going to be one outcome, and that was a Liverpool win, which is just why I'm absolutely furious right now.
Yeah, it was one of their, where the momentum, everyone's hoping that it's going to take them and just sway them. It should, it did, but it's just not enough because of the finishing. Diaz, the one Salah puts on a plate, I say puts on a plate, it's a fantastic pass. It's like, it reminds me of, like, I know it's not really similar, but Origi against Burnley when they got beat 1-0 after a Barnes penalty, he's through on goal and he tries too hard to place it instead of maybe just going round. Oh, it's annoying, but Diaz played really well as well. That's the most annoying thing. But I think overall, I think Liverpool maybe just ran out of a little bit of steam, and I think that might be because of how many games they've had where they've had to go full tilt, especially that League Cup final. And because there's, what, 6 or 7 players. I think that's what it was at. And I think City were more than happy with the point. There was a stage for about 5 minutes where Liverpool didn't really want to press because I don't think they could. And City, where Kovacic comes on, calms it down. He was excellent. I think he's a great player. And they're just playing like square passes all around the centre half with Rodrigo, Kovacic. And it kind of just kills the momentum for both teams in terms of any aspect of going forward for about 5 or 10 minutes. And I think that's kind of where I think I certainly went, well, I think this is only going to end one way until Doku goes and gives everyone a heart attack. And then there was another big chance where I think, I can't remember, someone got a blocking on near enough on the line where Doku squares it. I can't remember who gets the blocking, but it's good defending. It's one of them. Every time Doku gets the ball, Jesus wept. But thankfully, it was just about got, you know, saved us with the post and Kelleher reacting well. Unfortunately, they just didn't have. I just think they ran out a bit of steam, Liverpool, in the end. But I can't fault them for that because they've had so many games where they've had to rely on the kids, and the kids are going to be tired. I say the kids, they're all my age, but they're all going to be tired themselves now. But thankfully, they've got to beat Spurs Prague 5-1, and that they've got a big rest before, you know, another massive one on Sunday now in a week's time. So. Fingers crossed.
This is my friend Kevin. He is a United fan. He's putting You Never Walk Alone. Please, do they have anyone to play? It's Arsenal, isn't it? In the title race. Please just go and beat Arsenal for that one day. I will be a United fan. I won't be singing songs, but I will be cheering on United. Please go and do your job. And see if you could catch up with Aston Villa for the top four. That would be interesting. Where were we? Mike, not Mike. You'll wait a minute, Mike. Craig, I was going to come to you. Yeah, sober up, get some water or something. with the absentees that we've got, obviously no Trent today, no Ali, no Diogo, no Curtis Jones, no Thiago Alcantara, no Stefan Bacetic, and of course, no Ibrahima Konate, no Joe Matip as well. Don't know if I said him. I don't know if I missed anyone there, probably. That just, for me, makes it even more impressive the way that we conducted ourselves on play today. Because, you know, you're looking at a City team which everybody is waxing lyrical about, and yeah, they've been good this season. Are you laughing at the comment?
Yeah, well, I'll bring the comment up, please. That's unreal. Failure.
Kevin, wow.
Oh, it's gone.
Well, yeah, just without those players, mate, and, you know, like I said, nobody seemed to really give us a chance. I've always said we thrive in them circumstances. I don't think it's necessarily sustainable for too long, but at the minute, it seems like when we are playing against these teams, we do okay. So, how important do you think it was to play like that today with those players missing against the quadruple chasing City side?
Unbelievable! Like, you gotta, sorry, just
oh, they're not quadruple chasing.
Excuse we won the pun, but you gotta take your hats off to Klopp. to have this many players missing and like to have, still have a system in place that looks, it doesn't matter who's playing, it still looks like Liverpool who are playing every time, no matter the personnel. So like you got to put that down to obviously the players as well, but like the management team, you know, everyone raves over Guardiola and his systems, and people try to, you know, put Klopp down to emotions and kind of just man management side of things. No, not at all. Like he's also a tactical genius. He had created with the lads as well, with Linders and others, be able to create the system that these young lads can come in out of and flourish. You know, I mean, they have obviously the senior players helped a lot. I think you even saw at one point Van Dijk and Kwanzaa switching, which it actually happened at a total momentum change in the game. Kwanzaa was under a bit of pressure. City's whole press was basically letting the ball go to him, and then kind of put out his options. Van Dijk switched around, and all of a sudden we were able to pass the ball into midfield, and we were just, you know, we had control of the game. That was actually probably maybe just a little bit before they scored. But it, you know, with the thing with Kwanzaa, he was absolutely insane. It doesn't matter that Konate isn't around. We can, like, once you see Kwanzaa come up against Erling Haaland, we don't need to describe who he is or what he's done, but to come away from that with your head held high, you probably should have had the 3 points, and I don't think, not a zero mistakes. Kwanzaa is now ready, basically. There shouldn't be, what I was feeling before the game shouldn't be happening anymore. You know, we should be as confident with Bradley and Kwanzaa coming into the team, because they've, so far, I know it's still early in their careers, I don't want to say they are ready, but they damn well look it. And they, you know, they could go on to be, it's scary to think how good they could be if this is how good they are right now in this Liverpool team. So now it's a credit to the whole club and to the academy and to the management team that no matter who's around, whether it's the youngsters, like Bobby Clark at the moment as well, whenever he's played, he's come in and looked like a serious player. It was actually a sign in a way that, you know, Klopp didn't bring on, you know, Clark or thing. It kind of goes back to what Elliot was saying. There was a bit of, you know, a bit of tiredness, and it, you know, that's what we got with Clark and the lads in the other games when we definitely were tired before. We got that energy, but maybe again, you know, we have the two young lads who's definitely, you know, they can start week in, week out, and you can probably be pretty happy with that. But maybe the other lads just yet are just, you know, there's another couple of rungs for them to go up to get into that stage. But at the same time, if they were starting in the rest of our run, I'd be pretty confident from what I've seen so far. There's no reason to be, I was scared of any opposition, no matter who's out at the moment. Like, I'd nearly be confident if we played a full Academy 11 at this point.
I tweeted on the 5th of October, it's clear to see why we didn't sign another centre-back. Gerald Kwanzaa is the truth. And that was after a couple of Europa League games, maybe a couple of cup games. But like you say, Craig, he's coming into these games now against Man City, supposedly the best side in the world. Didn't look it today. I've already given my opinion on some of their top quality players. Rodri being dogged around the pitch by Endo. flipping Erling Haaland. If Darwin Nunez is a you-know-what Andy Carroll, I don't know what Erling Haaland was today. Absolutely anonymous from start to finish. So you put these kids in these games. Conor Bradley as well, by the way. I've not even mentioned him. You know, it just shows how good the development is at this club. And people want new signings. I get it. I understand it. Everybody, when the summer comes around, we all want to get excited about new players. When we signed Szoboszlai, I remember the excitement. Same with McAllister. But at the same time, Mike, we've spoken about this a lot. What Jurgen Klopp has done better than any manager I've ever seen at Liverpool, really, I would go as far to say that, is he has trusted from within. The amount of players, I think it's up to like 50, maybe even more players he's given his debut to, given their debuts to. And, you know, when he does leave, which is unfortunately in a couple of months, he's going to leave behind a real, real top quality crop of young players, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Listen, I think, you know, you see people compare the situation that, you know, Klopp's leaving Liverpool into a, you know, a Wenger or a Sir Alex. It's not really comparable for me. And the reason being, when Fergie left United, he had wrung them dry. And, you know, and it's, and I mean that in the most respectful way. Incredible manager, because he won the league with a mid-table side. If you look at that team, if you take away Rooney and Van Persie, and maybe, you know, Prime De Gea, obviously, it was not, wasn't looking great, you know. So then you look at Wenger. Wenger overstayed his welcome. And that's no disrespect to Wenger. That's just more so the fans were no longer happy with retaining Champions League. They wanted more. Understandable. Fans get like that. That's part of the game. Klopp is doing something very different in the sense that he's not only leaving on a high, similar to Fergie, but he's leaving the club in a really good state. The majority of our team are under 25. We've got a new recruitment coming in the sense of Michael Edwards completely reshaping, which you're leaving that in, you know what I mean? That's good stead. Hughes coming in as well. You know, there's a lot of positives there. It's not like the building is crumbling around us. It's more so that, you know, we've already laid the foundation in the way that I think personally is comparable to what Shankly did. And now we're waiting for our Paisley. That's what it is. I think there is a layup there for a modern day Bob Paisley to come in. But there is also a situation we get a bit of a modern day Hodgson issue or a modern day Rodgers, which I pray we don't get. I can't imagine we will. But yeah, I mean, listen, the young lads, you look at Kwanzaa, you look at Clark, you look at Bradley, you even look at Jones, Elliot, you know, these lads, Elliot and Jones, you know, we see them as senior players, but Jones is 21, I think. Elliot's 20, which is outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous, the quality they all have. Elliot, I mean, listen, you look at Elliot's performance today. I don't know what people were talking about at halftime. I thought Elliot was one of our better players.
I genuinely think people were just like, he's not Salah. And that was the only thing they could think of. Because he was definitely playing.
He's on the wing, isn't it? I think people maybe just don't like him on the wing. I think that's where it comes from. And then as soon as he's on the wing, everyone's got an issue already before the game even starts.
Exactly, yeah. Elliot. I was literally about to say that. I was on a space before the game. It was already in their minds. They'd already said, Elliot needs a big game because if Elliot does this, that and the other, then blah, blah, blah. But Elliot didn't have a bad game today. I've never seen such a young, promising kid. He's 20 years old. He's not even 21 yet. He's so promising in so many games, play so many minutes for Liverpool. Yeah, people still always have to find something to moan about. It's just ridiculous. It's only on Twitter, though, by the way, because when you go to the games and you know people that are around the ground and that, everyone loves and raves about Harvey Elliott. And you see what this club means to him. You see how much he understands it. But on social media, for some reason, they don't see it. It is confusing. And like Eddie says, great cross to Szoboszlai. If that guy knew how to head a ball, I'm sorry, I wasn't with Szoboszlai today. Same with Mo Salah as well. We'll talk about some of those guys. You know, he gets an assist and we get the goal. But obviously, Szoboszlai just jumped up in the air and the ball hit his head and it was over. Salah, for me, guys, Elliot, I'm going to come to you. He did some really nice stuff today. And, okay, I'm not going to go in on him too much, obviously, because he only played half an hour. But ultimately, I was looking for Salah to maybe come on and, you know, cement his legacy in this title race. And it just didn't work out today, did it?
No, I think that there's a reason why he didn't start, because you do not start Salah in any game, never mind against City, especially with his record. It's not like he's one of the best players in the world. He kind of disappears in big games. Against City, he's the one who always steps up. And you don't not start him if there's not an issue because obviously he's fit, but he's obviously not fully fit. So that's why I think Klopp got asked and he was straight away went, not, we didn't even think about it. So obviously he's still getting to full fitness. And I mean, he came back, didn't he, I think, against Brentford and then sit out for another month or whatever. So you don't want that to happen, especially with the running. There's going to be so many twists and turns, and hopefully he is the one making the twists and turns. So there's no point really risking him. Elliot played well, I think, and then I think he improved when he went to midfield. Don't get me wrong, I think he's better there, but I still like him on the wing. I just think Salah, it's one of them where he's just not fully at the races, which is not on him. It's because he's just unfortunate with the injuries. I think the pass to Diaz is unbelievable. That's the standout moment, and unfortunately Diaz just isn't reliable in front of goal. That's the case. I think we've all probably agreed on that since he joined, and then at the start of this season we were all hoping that he'd be clinical, get the clinical edge. It looked like he got a little bit and then he just faded off, and then he's come back, be playing a bit better, but still lost the clinical edge. So unfortunately he doesn't get Salah an assist, and then after that I don't really seem to remember anything significant Salah done. As obviously he gets put in,
but one from Salah was he could have had the carbon copy finish from, you know, when he when Ederson came out and he smashed it, went in with his right foot into the near post. And he basically had that opportunity against Ortega. And then he tried to pass it across instead of going for the shot.
It's such as a poor one. And then I think because he thinks to put touches a poor one, he thinks he has to cross it. So he's causing two minds himself anyway. And then I think that just comes with maybe a little bit of rustiness and, you know, in a few weeks' time after the international break as well, because he's obviously getting a rest from Egypt. I think he'll be right back at it, and which is what Liverpool certainly need for this horrendous title race, because I'm already nervous for after the international break, never mind the FA Cup.
It's going to be a heck of a... As you allude to there, Elliot, there was no news obviously yesterday, if you guys missed it, that I believe Mo Salah isn't going with Egypt for the international break, which is obviously a big positive for us. We all know, especially if you follow Mo on Instagram or Twitter, that guy lives in the gym, man. He literally posts gym snaps on his Instagram story like every day. So I'm pretty sure he's going to be working hard to make sure that when we're back, he is in tip-top condition. Craig, just before we move the conversation on slightly, is there anybody you wanna praise today? Because we've said a lot of negative stuff, and let's be honest, it was a performance where when we look back on it in maybe a couple of days, we'll think maybe a bit different. Who impressed you today, and maybe that we've not mentioned so far, mate?
I'd say Endo out of the people we haven't mentioned so far, yeah. So actually on this, because I knew I had something with Mike in the summer about this, so I'd go back and I went back and watched the podcast to see what was said, and you know what happened? You got cut off in a conversation. So we were actually midway through talking about Endo, and I was about to school you.
Oh, were you? Yeah, that's all. You know what that is in court, by the way, Craig? That's hearsay. Because I could easily sit here and be like, if the podcast hadn't ended, I was actually about to school you. Come on.
Well, like, I think I left it as I was just waiting for some pushback on Mike on the end of the transfer, and then it never came.
So Craig, there's no proof I've ever pushed back on Endo, therefore.
Okay. There's one point you didn't like the word value on the day. I'll tell you that.
I didn't like the word value. That sounds like me. Yeah, that sounds like me nitpicking.
You could look at Endo at the end of the season and imagine him being amazing value, and you're like, oh, don't say that word. Don't say that word.
Right, back on topic, Craig. Who impressed you today? Tell you, Mike, you're having this point scoring conversation. Who impressed you today?
It's always needed with Endo.
Craig, you Scott Carson, quiet, all right? I'll tell you this. I'll tell you who impressed me today, and Craig, it's all love, brother. I'll tell you who impressed me today, genuinely, Kwanzaa. I know we mentioned him before, but the way he stepped up today, genuinely, I thought it was outstanding. Haaland is one of the best strikers, if not the best number nine on the planet, and I really don't think he had much of a sniff. Right. I think that's not only Van Dijk, that's Kwanzaa.
By the way, Van Dijk, I know it's like common one to just be ridiculous, but wow. Stupid out
so big tackles from Van Dijk.
The pass, Haaland. It's mental. He won't get any praise at all because that's normal.
But Elliot, you know what impressed me the most, and this is something that us four probably can understand, maybe people outside Liverpool wouldn't, it was the amount of times I've seen Van Dijk on the ground. It's not often you see him commit to a tackle, right? Yeah, but today, that he was sliding everywhere, and it was I don't know what you'd call it. You know, people always say Van Dijk sometimes doesn't get out of second, third gear because he doesn't have to. Mm-hmm. Today it felt like he was revving the engine. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He was driving.
He was driving. He's national speed limit. He was there. You know. But it was an outstanding performance, and we deserve 3 points. And I think City will come away from that very. They're wounded. Their keeper's down now. You know, they've got Ortega, and he didn't look the strongest in goal, in my opinion.
I don't care.
Can any of you remember their stats against the top five?
I don't know.
I don't think they've beaten anybody in the top five yet this year.
Man City.
Yeah. Someone mentioned it before the game.
They haven't beaten Villa. They lost to Arsenal and Villa.
Drew with
Spurs,
yeah. That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Man Blue says you got lucky today and City deserved the win.
Buddy.
Listen, go breaking number 100.
Okay, now I was baiting it.
Hang on, Mike. Let me get this out of my chest. How about you go get another 115 charges and you might actually be able to beat us at Anfield? You've got one win at Anfield and your away travelling fans never even got to see it in God knows what. I don't know what period that runs from. In recent time, at least in recent history, you've got one win at Anfield and your fans. I doubt you were even going to be there regardless, because I bet you don't go in the match, but that's another situation. You did not deserve anything today. You should be very blessed and very lucky that you got the point. You know, you see Kevin De Bruyne having a meltdown. I have never seen Pep Guardiola go up to a player. I'd be like, oh, it's okay. Everything's okay. Don't worry about it. That's never happened. But your boy did nothing today. He got absolutely scored by every single Liverpool. All he did is put a little crossing from a corner. Yeah, well done. Like, what are we doing? You deserve the win. You deserve nothing. You should be absolutely buzzing that you came away from that game with a point.
Can I address Man Blue? Can I address Man Blue? All right, bring his comment back up.
Which one?
With either one. You little Twitter warrior. Go get a little tissue. Wipe the tears. It's okay. It's not that deep. I could say some things, but unfortunately this podcast is sponsored, so I can't swear and I can't insult you because I don't know who you are, so I don't want to cross any lines. But just grow a pair. Oh, glad you mentioned the assist from KDB. Yeah, bro, it was a great cross. You know what? We'll get serious for a minute. It was a great corner. And then guess what happened? He did all in the second half and got subbed. And then he spit his dummy at Pep. I mean, what a world-class performance, honestly.
KDB bottled that game. He absolutely bottled it. He was probably the only player in City who could have scored outside of their corner.
I mean, listen, it was a great corner by him, but you've seen his quality from the corner, but other than that, he was not present, so I'll get serious from it. He wasn't present in the game, and that comes down to either City tactically being inept for a change or whether it was just we were able to handle him. I thought Endo did a phenomenal job on Kevin De Bruyne.
He can't do what Kovacic's done. That's the reason Guardiola gets it right, doesn't he? Of course he does. He's one of the greatest managers ever.
Kovacic is a great player.
Regardless of whatever you want to say, 150 charges, blah, blah, blah. He gets it right. And De Bruyne I've never seen De Bruyne do that. I was really quite surprised. I mean, whether it was a meltdown or having a go, it was just, he looked very unhappy anyway. But Kovacic is the right change. And that's probably, you'd argue, you get to City the point because he just completely nullifies the game from both aspects for both teams, so it's a very good change.
But this is the thing about Pep, is he is tactically brilliant and he knows what he's doing. Like every single time, there was a moment in the first half, right, where we were piling the pressure on, ball goes out, and Bradley's trying to get the ball back.
Subbing a player who's playing badly.
No, listen, Craig, it's good. It's all the finite things that he does. He is tactically brilliant. They lost control in the game. They take off the number 10. They put Kovacic on. It was a smart sub because of what Kovacic can do. You know what I mean? It is what it is. You got to give credit where it's due. You know what I mean? It is what it is. But I think a lot of managers would have left De Bruyne on because he's De Bruyne. You know what I mean?
Equal fan, I would clap rings on the kids. It's the same thing, isn't it?
It's the same. Yeah. Maybe not to that level.
I don't remember.
same idea, isn't it? Where there's risks taken or sensible decisions made instead of leaving players. You can provide the moments of magic, but you know, they do the right thing instead of risking it.
Yeah, Man Blue, by the way, it doesn't look like he's trolling. It looks like he's having some genuine content.
Yeah, fair enough. I just see. No. Because the first two comments, you can understand my reaction because it's just chatting.
I was with you. I was right there with you.
This point here, yeah, fair enough. I do kind of agree with that.
Look at the maturity, Ben. Ben, look at our maturity.
I never seen Stevie get hooked in one of these big games. So you know, everyone compares him to Steven.
Ben, Gerrard got sent off.
That's not getting hooked. That's just because he hates the manager and he hated the way the team was at that time and he couldn't be bothered. You don't bench Steven Gerrard at the Bernabeu. You know what I mean? So all those things racked up in his brain. He's like, you know what? How can I hit out at this manager? I'm going to get sent off.
Hold on. We're losing focus. Let's bring it back to the game.
No. All I'm saying is people are comparing this guy to the absolute greatest Premier League midfielder of all time. Have some shame. Please find some shame. He's nowhere near Stevie's level. He never has been and he never will be. Period. There we go. We're going to go to Elliot here. We're going to look at the Premier League table now, Elliot. And the question I want to ask you is, do you think the 2 points dropped today? Because that's what it is. It's not a point gained. It is 2 points dropped. I think we can all agree on that. Is that significant to this title race? Or are you still relatively happy and confident with the situation that we're in right now? Because let's be honest, Elliot, we just have to keep remembering, right? Nobody gave this Liverpool team a chance pre-season. And we're going into the final 10 games, even though we've been robbed numerous times. And I will say that, corruption. Now Mike's on board, I'm going to keep saying that. after 28 games, Elliot, we're still on the same points as top. And there's still so many games. Like, Arsenal have some really tough games. We've got some tough games. City have got some tough games. It's a good situation to be in at the end of the day, isn't it?
It's not a bad one, is it? That's what, especially, I think we all cast our minds back to when we were probably arguing that top four would be, you know, not a significant improvement, but an improvement on last season's absolute farce of whatever you want to call it. But I think running, the team running is maybe a bit too early. It feels like we could be a bit too early because I think you've got to give it a good few more weeks to just see whereabouts everyone is. Arsenal are fantastic running, playing really good football. But, you know, they nearly dropped points in that. I know Ramsdale was at fault, but unfortunately, he probably won't be playing again for the rest of the season. And then City look amazing, but then today look a bit off it. And Liverpool have looked amazing, but then looked off it against Arsenal a tiny bit. So there's all these little things where it takes like 10 minutes of one game or one half of one game where one team can look off it and they can drop points. I think Liverpool are in a good situation. I think everyone would have been content. I don't want to say the word pleased because I think we're all very not pleased the fact that Liverpool haven't won today. But I think there's a title to be won. There's been a title to be won since about November. I think when Liverpool beat Wolves 3-1 away from home, since that game, I've thought they can win the league, and I still think they can win the league, but it just makes me slightly sick in the throat when I see those three teams on those points because it's going to be, it can't not be that going into the last day of the season. I can't see a situation where it's not at least two teams fighting on the last day.
Yeah, Craig, just coming to you before we finish with Mike. This seems to be, and I didn't think it would be this stage because I thought one of us, whether it be Liverpool, City or Arsenal, I thought one of us maybe would have started to drift by now by a few points. It hasn't happened. I can't really remember the last time there was a three-horse race with 10 games to go. How are you feeling about that? Are you still just sort of looking at it thinking all we've got to do is win our games and hope other teams lose? Or are you looking at fixtures thinking where the other teams are going to drop the points? How are you feeling right now about the last 10 games, mate?
I'm all in this week and next week, you know. So I coming into this week, I was like, this game will define our season in one way or another, for good or bad. It didn't do either. Arsenal City, I can't see them dropping points outside of that. Like, you know, like we did it to Nottingham Forest ourselves. You know, we probably got all the Arsenal and City fans watching the end of the game once they saw that it was nil all with, you know, 10 minutes to go. I did the same with Arsenal Brentford. I switched on in like 83 minutes and then I watched a minute before they scored. So like it's that kind of thing. So I'm not gonna just not get my hopes up in any way, shape, or form for anybody's drop points outside of against each other. You know, Aston Villa, Spurs, those are two other type of games in there, but I still would think that Liverpool, Arsenal, City will see them off anyway. And it really will, I think it will come down to Arsenal City next week for hopefully in our favour. I'm hoping a draw. Yeah. And next match. Yeah.
I can't take another week of this, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike, what are you saying, mate? Sorry, Craig, I thought you'd finished.
No, it's all good. Listen, I think it's a very close title race. I still think my eyes now are on the Spurs run of fixtures that I mentioned. I think I've mentioned to at least, I know I've mentioned it to Ben. I'm sure you guys are aware of it. You know, April into May, Spurs play City at home, Arsenal at home, then Liverpool away. That's where the, for me, that's now where the title is going to be decided. They've got a derby, City, who have, City obviously have a very poor record at Spurs, and then obviously Spurs come away to Anfield. So I think you just got to focus, obviously, winning every game. There will be probably shock results along the way. You never know. Wolves, Arsenal have to go away at Wolves, rather. And, you know, that's a very difficult place to go. City have got their toughest fixtures in the next couple of weeks, Villa being one and Spurs being the other. I think if City make it to mid-April without dropping points, so after the Spurs game, basically, that's the cutoff point for me, then I think City win the league. I think City will just walk a lot of games. Arsenal, for me, their slip-ups, as I say, Wolves, Spurs, I think our slip-ups are probably Villa and potentially United at Old Trafford. Not because United at Old Trafford are going to play any good, but potentially they could just set up similar how they did at Anfield, and will potentially find it hard to break down depending on fixture congestion as well. It could be similar to the Arsenal situation where we beat them in the FA Cup and then drop points in the league. So we'll see what happens. A long way to go. Well, not long way now, actually. I can't keep saying that now. We've got 10 games to go. It's creeping
that's
up.
That is a long way. There's like nothing's going to be decided whether we won today or lost or drew. Nothing was ever going to be decided today. If we won today, yeah, I'd be sat here saying we're going to win the league, of course, because if you beat City with the players we had available today, no one's going to stop you. But obviously that didn't happen, but we can't take away anything from the performance. If we perform like that in the other big games this season, then we will win this league 100%.
We just need to turn up. Who's the next Prem game?
Yeah, exactly. Our next Prem game is...
Next four Prem games, let's hear them.
We'll look at the fixtures now. So, Sparta Prague's on Thursday. I'm expecting McConnell's and, you know, Jaden Danz and players like that to play if they're available. 5-1, absolutely sound. Obviously, Everton's been postponed, which is brilliant news. Then we've got Man United in the FA Cup. Now, I remember people at the time saying in that game, rotate. But this is the last game before the international break. So, we don't play again. Liverpool don't play again. Obviously, our players will play again in the break. I'm going for this game. Strongest team possible. I'm not going out of the FA Cup in the quarterfinal to Man United. No way. Strongest team possible there. Then is the international break. We will have Brighton at home, Sheffield United at home, and then Manchester United away. And the fourth game, Mike, to answer your question in that running, is Palace at home. So in that four-game spell you're on about, Mike, we've got three home games, Brighton, Sheffield United and Palace, and Man United away.
See, I'm going
to
sound...
This is the tough period for me. Fulham away, West Ham away.
It's yeah, Spurs, you know what? I'm glad you said it because I thought I was going to sound mad. It's the London games that worry me.
And the Villa one.
And Villa. Well, it depends with Villa, because if Villa are still fighting... If Villa have Champions League secured, different. If Villa are still fighting for Champions League, that might be a ridiculous game. Spurs made it look easy today. I don't know how. Fair play. City, they went toe-to-toe, absolutely just rolled them over. But Villa are not a side that often get rolled over, especially at home. So that's going to be a very difficult game for us. What about you, lads? What is there any games you looked at there where you go, difficult?
Goodison, last derby, Goodison, they're fighting for their lives. I am terrified.
After watching that United game, mate, I would not worry. Bloody awful.
Last 100 games. Yeah.
They are like that in the derby.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Valid.
Yeah, no matter how bad
Spurs are dangerous. In fairness, Spurs are dangerous. Like, but I can't see anything other than us winning. But at the same time, yeah, it's not going to be easy.
No, but guys, listen, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy for any side if you want to win the league. It's never going to be easy, or it would have happened many, many, many more times than it already has. So we know it's going to be tough. We know there's going to be roller coasters and there's going to be ups and downs along the way. Some shock results, I think Mike alluded to. We'll be here after every single game to react to it. So make sure if you're on YouTube, you're subscribing, you're liking, you're doing all that jazz. And by the way, we are doing this on Twitter. And as I can see, There are 5,893 people currently watching on Twitter, which is incredible. So thank you for that, guys. If you stuck through all the way, even if you haven't, even if you just tune in for 10 minutes, that is still, you know, massive for us. And, you know, we don't take it for granted, of course.
Big boy number.
We're going to wrap it up here because, you know, I think we could all go on about this game for the rest of the night. The next game spot, I'm not going to lie. I don't know if there'll be a pod for that game. We'll see. We'll see how we feel. But after that, obviously, we've got the United game, which 100% there'll be a pod for regardless. So make sure you subscribe in. Make sure you follow us on Twitter with notifications on. And you'll see every single time we go live. Take care and goodbye for now. Sports Social Podcast Network.